Test 1 2 1 2 1 2 test.
Test 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 test.
Test 1 2 1 test your boy.
You're horrible at that. Hello and welcome to the Roman Nerd. This is Kai as always, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Elijah and Zeke.
Elijah.
Hello, this is Zeke.
Why'd you just say your name?
You already introduced me. I thought that
you could just say hello or be all like, "Hi, I'm Elijah."
Hi, guys. I'll be friendly this time. Elijah.
Elijah. Okay. Anyway, we have another exciting podcast full of nonsense and semi-professional acting and
acting.
Conduct, not acting. We don't really act. And some haberdashery of nerdy goodness.
We act a fool.
God, that was terribly lame. I want to punch you in your face for how lame that is.
We act a fool and don't wrap our tool.
I always wrap my tool.
Says the youngest one here.
Wink.
I'm not the youngest.
No. I was talking about Zeke.
Me.
Oh, well, he doesn't even know what a vagina looks like, so it's okay.
Zeke's four.
Hey.
Okay, so this is the August 29th show, and as always, we're going to start off with our comic book section. And this is for the upcoming September 5th. Sadly, we could not locate our preview, so we had to pull off some of these offline. And these are just a brief overview of what we found. I'm going to cover some. I don't think Zeke found any.
Nope. I found one.
Zeke doesn't read new comics. And Elijah found one. So I just want to announce that Epic Kill number 5 is coming out on September 5th, which is awesome. About a little Asian girl who runs around and kills things. Kind of like Kill Bill and that type of feel. She just murders things. It's a whole comic. Thief of Thieves, Robert Kirkman, his trade paperback's coming out on September 5th.
As is number 8 of Thief of Thieves, I believe.
Yeah, number 8 is also coming out. And Harvest, which is a new series off of Image. All these are Image comics, by the way, coming out September 5th. And Harvest is about a drug addict doctor who, if you didn't catch the first one, it's about a drug addict doctor that gets contracted by the mob to harvest people's organs and fix up mob members. And it's really cool art, and it's a really good storyline. And I read the first one, and it just blew me away, so I'm addicted to this series now. So I think it's a 5-part series. And
It's a series?
Yeah.
Harvest. Well, they're all series, but it's a...
I don't know if it's a final... Or if it's an ongoing series, or if it's just a short, like, trade paperback style series where only 5 were released. It may just be that's the first story arc. But
oh, okay. That makes sense.
I don't think so. I think it's a 1 of 5. And the next one I want to mention, that Manhattan Project trade paperback number 1 is also coming out on September 5th.
Yeah.
And this is just, this will lead into our next subject, is Mind the Gap number 4 is coming out next week. It has 2 covers, A and B. They're both pretty cool. It's a cool series that I'm going to talk about today, right now, right here. Well, Mind the Gap is about this...
Great job. Good intro.
I was expecting you to say something.
On Monday.
Hope.
Okay, but Mind the Gap is this kind of detective-y series. I liked the first one a lot. It really blew me away. It was my second comic. Well, it was my actually first comic that I actually got at a store that was other than DC, other than Chew, which I got a trade paperback of.
Oh, so it's first actual comic, not a trade paperback.
Yeah, so...
But they're all comics. I was like, and where else do you buy them besides stores? But you explained yourself well. You had me hanging there and confused.
I buy them virtually.
See, it's sort of like this comic.
It's still an online store if you buy it. If you buy things at stores.
He buys it out of a closet.
Or you could buy it out of some guy's trunk at the mall, and those aren't probably real comics that you want to be buying. Porn. Or just they're all stolen.
That's true.
And they're still real. It's just you don't want them.
Zeke has a point. They are still real. But Mind the Gap is about this girl who gets... spoiler.
Wait. And it's still a store if it's out of his trunk.
Ooh, it's a legal store.
Okay, go on.
Go to your local marijuana store.
Right on the corner of Downtown Street in Maine.
I don't know if he has like a shop front, but I still guess it's still kind of technically a store. But anyway, back to comic books and nerd items.
Not marijuana? Not stolen goods?
If you want to argue what the definition of a true store is, email us at realmofnerd@gmail.com.
I'm going to look that up.
No, Zeke, they need to figure it out on their own and tell us.
Well, we'll tell you next week if we remember. Now go on about Mind the Gap, please.
Okay, Mind the Gap's about this girl. She gives these weird phone calls, and there's like a bunch of hidden clues in the artwork that tell a little bit about her. So, say murder. It's more of she gets hit on the head and goes into a coma, and after she goes into the coma, she goes into this different world called the garden, which is where they put all the vegetables, which is the lame joke that they have, because there's a bunch of people and other people in comas in this world.
They're vegetables.
Yeah, it was a lame joke, but
it's not a lame joke. That's an awesome joke. Making fun of the handicap is always funny.
And actually, a handicapped person made that joke. So, yeah, and she has to solve her own.
I don't care how that has to do with it being funny.
It doesn't.
Dumb blonde jokes are funny because dumb blondes tell them.
But they don't understand them.
It's the situational irony.
I don't think blondes know what situational irony is. And the coma patients don't know how to say it's situational irony because they're just laying there, but they're still alive like a vegetable.
I don't know how to say situation irony. Okay, I didn't mean to get it right, but okay.
That was verbal irony, Zeke. But she has to solve her own murder through the garden, and she has this mentor that kind of takes her through the garden. She discovers that she's special and can do certain things that others can't.
Don't spoil too much.
Yeah, I was being vague. And also, there's detectives in the real world trying to solve her murder, which kind of mixes real well, and characters weave and stuff. And I think it was based off of a poem called 10 Little Indians, or 9 Little Indians.
Sitting on a fence or something.
Yeah, and then they all die.
And then they get shot by cowboys.
No, one dies from like a bee sting, and
I kind of remember it. I just started mumbling there. I don't even know what's going on.
Threats.
Okay, so anyway, Mind the Gap. I didn't read this one.
Buy it at your local store.
I don't think drug dealers are stores, going back to that, but anyway, I think it actually has to be a building where you buy things is a store.
How about at the back of a store or in a closet of a
store? Okay, enough about a store before I punch you in the throat. Okay, but I didn't like Mind the Gap because it's kind of a mystery, crime-fighting, gumshoe, Sherlock Holmes type of thing.
Oh, one more thing. In the end, there's this really cool section. I just remembered it when you mentioned mystery. I know I was talking about it being a mystery, but the author leaves little hints about the artwork that you can kind of go back and look through and see where that he's going to try to go in the next series. Or next issue, not series, sorry.
Okay. Okay, that's cool, but I just don't like that type of thing, so I don't read these, and I know it's not my cup of tea. The art in it seems really good, just like Faytale. I really wanted to pick that up, and then I kind of...
Faytale? Is that how it's pronounced?
I think.
Oh. Fatale.
Or Fatale or something like that. I think it's
I don't know.
Or it's Fatal.
No, that's not.
No, because Fatal doesn't have an E at the end.
Fatally.
Okay.
Fatal A.
But we all know what I'm talking about. And I just didn't think it was going to be that good because it was a mystery kind of gumshoe type of thing. And I just don't like that. Even though the art looked real good and the whole premises and it had a lot of good artists and writers working on it. But I'm not going to pick it up.
I actually read it, and I'm a superhero comic kind of guy.
What? Fatale or Mind the Gap?
No, Mind the Gap. And I mostly read superheroes. Actually, I only read superheroes. But, like, I read it, and I enjoyed it, but I don't want to think when I'm reading a comic.
You don't want to think when you're reading a comic?
No, it hurts my brain to go back to other memories and stuff. I just want to see action and deaths.
That was Kai ripping the label off of his cran apple juice.
Bothering me. that's probably your problem why you only read crappy comics is because you don't like to think.
Hey, it's easy. I'm reading Watchmen.
Okay, yeah, but get closer to your mic when you talk, for one.
I'm reading Watchmen.
I didn't say repeat yourself, I just said next time get closer to your mic.
Next time get closer to your mic.
I'm going to slap the shit out of both of you.
We're extremely annoying this week.
No, I just quit smoking, and today has been my first day without a electronic cigarette.
Oh, okay. That makes way more sense.
If I am irritable and bitchy today, that is why. But Watchmen is a good series, and it is kind of a gumshoe type of thing, and it is a superhero comic. But it was just, you know, it's something out of the blue. The storyline's really good about it. And there's a blue guy where you get to see his Wang in the movie.
Really? You get to see his Wang?
Yeah, whenever, who is that? Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
No, it's not Dr. Manhattan. It's like Brain something. No, it's not. It's Brainiac.
No, it's like Dr. Manhattan or Dr. Philadelphia or something
Dr.
like that.
Dr. Man.
The blue guy.
Dr. Manhattan. Okay, yeah, that might be him, but I was thinking of
the big blue guy.
Yeah,
name,
I was thinking of the guy that wears like crowns and purple.
No, Dr. Manhattan. I think that's his name. I haven't read it in a while, and I haven't seen
neither
the movie in a while.
I've read it for a while, but
in the movie, the blue guy in Watchmen. You just see his dong whenever it's a full body shot because he runs around naked all the time.
Yeah, he runs around naked, but why didn't he just wear spandex? Because that's like...
Because he runs around naked. Spandex is clothes.
It just shows in the comic, it just shows, like, him... you see a bulge. Like
Yeah, but in the movie, you see his wiener.
You can't bulge out real-life wiener, Zeke. Have you tried it? I know I have.
They covered up, what is it, Mystique, the girl that shapeshifts in X-Men. They covered up her lady parts, even though she's naked.
See? Okay, on to our next section.
Yeah, think about that, Mr. So, on to our next section.
I still haven't figured out how to cover up my bulge, though.
Your balls?
That's because we McPhails have gigantic bulges.
Wink.
Okay, but anyway, onto the video game section of our podcast. A game that I really don't like. I really don't like this game.
That's why we've been avoiding it for a while. I thought
we're actually covering two games in this game series, whatever. And our upcoming one is Assassin's Creed 3. And we're going to be talking about Assassin's Creed twice in the video games. But Assassin's Creed 3, I don't care for it, so you guys go.
I don't care for it either.
Okay, I'm the only one that likes this. I thought that I'm excited for number 3 because number 1, it was...
freaking awesome.
It was
the other ones.
That's
so you liked Assassin's Creed?
The original? But
the
now,
first one,
But now
yeah.
When everyone thinks of Assassin's Creed, they think of 2... Or
because those were the good ones.
Or Brotherhood. Revelations out, right? Yeah, or Revelations. They think of those, and those are all similar. And the first one
sucked.
Assassin's Creed and is awesome.
And the first
all of them sucked.
In the first one, what happens is you get introduced to the dude outside of the Omnitrix. That's Ben 10.
What? Why are we even talking about the first one? Isn't the first one like in Persia or like in desert Dirkland?
It's
and then Assassin's Creed, you're a Native American and you go and scout people and shit.
Yeah, but Omnibus? No.
Why does this have to do with anything?
Okay, because he uses a machine to go back through his bloodline, which his generations.
Who does?
Desmond. He's the main character. He's like an actual person in our time. Goes back, uses this machine to control the body of his ancestor, which is where he can go back to the Middle East, and then I think it's then he can go to Italy, and then in this one, I think they're not using Desmond. They're using someone else, but they're related to an Indian who was an assassin.
Wow, this game series just sounds.
That's why lame. I think they should have stopped at the first one.
The first one didn't have a story, like a real good storyline. Number two was the first one that had a good storyline, and it was the best one, in my opinion, so far.
I just didn't like the game overall because you're just
murdering
like,
people.
Yeah, I liked murdering people in the Assassin's Creed games, but that's all I wanted to do. I don't like sneaking around and doing missions and. Being all sneaky, secret squirrel type of stuff.
Well, you like to do that in real life. You like to hunt squirrels.
Well, I like to hunt squirrels, but I don't like to play a video game where you're just going to be all like, ooh, I have to sneak around from these people and then slit their throats.
So you wouldn't like Deus Ex?
No, I didn't like Deus Ex.
Day of Sex.
Not Day of Sex. Deus Ex from God.
I know.
Deus
Ex. Oh, that's
Ex.
Completely different.
Deus ex means ex is from in Latin, okay. And Deus is God in the nominative case. So it means from God.
I always thought it was deus ex.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not.
Okay, so moving on to the portable and mobile games. I'm going to do the mobile first because we just talked about Assassin's Creed. Anything special about Assassin's Creed 3, we'll talk about that.
In this one, you do get to, instead of it just being you're only able to basically climb buildings like in the first, I think it's five, no, four.
Oh, that's way too many.
Yeah, in the first four and the portables, you're only able to climb buildings. But in this one, you're allowed to like run through the forest, jump off of branches, and swing around to kill your enemies. And you get to use... more modern weapons. I think you get to use more guns.
Well, of course, because it's in more modern times.
It's in revolutionary times.
Okay. So, anything else about it? Any other cool features about the game?
I don't know. I'm just excited for the new storyline.
Okay. Well, Assassin's Creed comes out when?
Oh, man, I forgot.
I'll look it up.
No, it doesn't matter. Screw it. Because it sucks.
If you like it, you'd know.
It wasn't me doing it. It was Elijah.
Okay, and we'll move on to the more mobile and portable game. This week, I'm going to do one of the best mobile games ever. I still think SAS... Zombie Assault 3 is probably the best mobile game ever. But this is up there with it. If you like... not real-time strategy, but if you like turn-based strategy... this is a really good game, like Final Fantasy Tactics and those type of games. This is called Great Little War Game, which is abbreviated GLWG.
Glug.
Great Little War Game is you basically have this little island, and you get these little men, and you get like snipers and different type of classes of people, and you go around and you have to kill the other people in a turn-based strategy. So it's a very strategic game. That's basically all you do is you get tanks and stuff, but it's very cartoony. But it's a great little game to take up a lot of your time. Like I like playing it in airports or on the plane when you're in air and stuff on my iPhone.
Airplane mode. We stress airplane mode.
That doesn't really matter. They're not going to tell.
I stress it.
I follow all the rules on the airline. I don't listen to my iPod while it's taking off because I don't want to get in trouble.
I like shoving my afro up my belly button.
Your afro?
Do you know why they have you shut off your stuff on during takeoff?
Nope.
So you don't drop it and have it hit someone?
Well, that may be a good reason, but...
No, it was in, like, Reader's Digest. It said they didn't want you to have laptops or phones out because you might let go on takeoff and it'll hit someone.
Oh, it's also to protect your electronic equipment.
Oh.
Is originally why they did it. They're afraid that, yeah, you are going to...
Throw it at someone's
drop
head.
Drop it and fly behind you and kill somebody, I guess. But no, like, I broke a digital camera on a helicopter in the military because the jet engines on it will put out an EMP when they first start cranking up real fast, and it'll turn off your electronics and maybe break them.
That
so
is
when the jet liner is taking off and it first gets up to speed, it'll put out a small, tiny, tiny little EMP, which doesn't really affect big electronics. It affects, like, mobile stuff, like mobile digital cameras, laptops. And they do that so your stuff doesn't mess up, too.
The more you know.
I don't know why they make EMPs or why. It just probably the metal's moving around. But I know on the helicopters they used to do that. And they said, you may not want to use your camera. And I was like, why? Can I still use it? And they're like, go ahead. And then we took off and it went off.
And
I was wondering why all their digital cameras, because they were taking pictures while they were taking off. On the helicopter, I was wondering why all their digital cameras were wrapped in aluminum foil. And apparently, they put a rag in aluminum foil, and somehow it protects it from the EMP.
Parabolic did reflector.
Did you feel like an idiot after yours broke?
Yeah, mine, like, broke. It,
Can I borrow yours?
It basically drained the whole battery off of it, and the battery didn't work very well anymore. It only lasted, like, an hour or two.
Okay. On to portable.
Okay. No, the portable is a great little war game. It's fun on an airplane. It's a good little turn-based strategy. It's really fun. I think it's like $3 on the store, but it's totally worth it.
It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, it is pretty difficult. Did you get a free version of it? Or?
I think they were having a sale 1 week, and I got it for free, like the whole game.
Okay, yeah. I think I paid like $2 for it, $2 or $3.
I think it's $3.
Yeah. It's like $2.99, and it's a good little game.
It's a great little war game.
Yeah, and it's pretty challenging, and your general comes up, and he's like, burr, burr. He doesn't really talk, but he has this mustache, and he comes up, and he's like, burr, burr, burr.
I'm not doing that.
But anyway, on to the portable. Another stupid game is Assassin's Creed Bloodlines.
And this was the only other... This was Assassin's Creed Bloodlines for the PSP, not the new one, not the Vita.
The cool one on the Vita, though, the cool thing is you get to be a lady assassin for the first time.
But wouldn't PSP be the old one because the new one's the...
Vita.
The Vita or the PSV, as in Victor.
PSV.
Is that what it would be, the PlayStation Vita? It would be PSV.
I think it's just shortened to Vita.
Yeah, you just call it your... Well,
so why did you have to specify that it was the PSP?
I call it PSP because...
No, you called it PSP, not the Vita, and each time you talk about the PSP, you always say, not the Vita.
Oh, well, I'll stop that, okay? You and your pet peeves, well...
It's not a pet peeve, it's just I'm wondering.
Okay, it's on the PSP.
Not the Vita.
Not the Vita. Shut up, Logic. And It's basically what Kai liked about the game. You don't have to sneak around. You just, like, you talk for, like, 5 seconds, and then you go around, kill stuff, go get something, kill some more people, go back, and then you just keep doing that, but you kill people in different ways. You unlock more things. The ending, it was fairly easy, except for the ending boss fight, which I had to have Elijah beat it.
So you just go around and just murder stuff.
It's the cool thing about Assassin's Creed.
So it's Assassin's Creed without all the crappy parts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well,
you play it?
No, I didn't play it.
Oh.
I played it a lot. I think I
played like 1, 2, and then I stopped playing.
Smart choice. Two was the best out of the...
Now, I played two, like, for a little while. Like, I didn't play it very long. I played it. It wasn't even my copy or anybody's I knew. I was renting it from MWR.
I was like, you just found it on the ground and then gave it back to someone.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's actually a vital part in the storyline that goes into two from that one.
I don't know if that was released in number one, but yes, it explains how they met Ezio's, who's the guy in the second's mother.
Yeah, Altair marries one of his enemies.
Wow. So this is when I talk about something nerdy that I really like, sounds like to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That was really, really retarded and boring, what you guys were talking about. And I'm sure it may have been really exciting and interesting.
No, it wasn't even exciting for me, and I beat the game twice.
I was just all like, what the hell are you talking about? And please stop talking about it. It's making me feel awkward.
Okay, well, then let's go into something that we all like.
So, Kyle, I was standing around on the street corner naked the other day.
And someone considered... That does interest. Someone walked up to me and said, hey, are you a store?
So they wanted to buy his services?
Prostitution is not a good thing.
Prostitution is a store. Open for
legalized prostitution in America.
America. Okay. On to something we all like, unlike Assassin's Creed. This is a follow up to our last conversation because we talked about Diablo 3 in the last podcast and only Kai had played it. But now we have. Don't kiss the mic.
Did you just. Is that what that sound was? Is you kissing the mic?
Yes. I was getting, like, tired, so I leaned forward and I...
Okay, anyway, Diablo 3.
We have now all played it. I've played it way too much, and I actually want to play it right now, all the time. And it's now that we've all played it.
I'm going to punch you in your throat if you don't stop kissing the mic.
That was me.
I'm going to punch both of you in the throat.
Okay, but yeah, we've all played it now, and now we have our preferences, our likes, dislikes, and everything else about it, and I need to get closer to the mic.
Okay, and yeah, it's a great game. I don't know if we had too much to talk on this topic, but it is a fun game. We did talk about it last week. Zeke, I think, is playing the Witch Doctor. I'm playing a Demon Hunter still, and Lige's playing a... Wizard or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm playing a wizard.
I've played the extensive amount for my time, and in like 4 days, 4 days between school days and stuff, I'm level 17 going on 18.
Okay, funny story about when we were playing. I was playing single player because I wasn't able to play with Zeke or Kai one day, and they like went from level 11 to level 14, I believe, so I couldn't really join, and I was trying to go on my own. Well, they did come back, but it was kind of more difficult, so I'm trying to catch up with them, and so I was playing on my own, and Zeke's trying to work on forging stuff in the first town.
I hate you, Kai.
And then Zeke was like level 4, he's like, yeah, I can make all this cool stuff that I can't even use. And then Kai's like, oh, how do you do it? And he's like, you just go down to train and then you spend $1,000 or 1,000 gold and you level it up. So Kai spends all his money and he's just like, I'm a level 5 now.
I hate you, Kai, so much. I worked, probably spent 2 hours of my game time trying to get to level 4, training to get more money to just buy everything without doing the quests because I was waiting for you, Kai, and then you backstabbed me.
Well, you were like level 17, and I was like a level 14 about
because
to
I trained trying to get higher in forging.
So I just saved all my money and didn't spend it on anything. All my items I found, and I just walk up, and you were like, oh, I'll give you this. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I want to do it myself. And you explained how to do it, and I walked up, and I was like, click, 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 and I was like, oh, there just goes 19,000 gold.
Yeah, and so I think Lige is the lowest forge level.
I'm a level 4.
Oh, well, Lige and I are the lowest forge levels.
Yeah, and I've never used it. Yep. Oh, no, I just made some pants.
Yeah.
that I dyed green.
I made, because I'm level 17 and I can make this, I made a rare helmet.
That you can't use to level 23?
No, I can use
now
it.
Now you can use it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm wearing it. It's rare, and I put it on my face, and then I shove a ruby in it, and it makes me find experience better.
He's talking about socketed items, which you haven't got to yet. I don't think they're as big as in Diablo 2 as they are in Diablo 3. I mean, they aren't as big in Diablo 3 as they were in Diablo 2.
Kai's excuse tired me. And burping.
There you go.
Now half our audience is yawning.
It was like it was really big in finding jewels and runes and stuff, and I just made everybody yawn. And Diablo 2, they were really big, and I haven't really seen any yet here. But we're kind of new and haven't even.
Well,
I
haven't seen any. Yeah, we aren't even.
Zeke, you can't say that you haven't seen it. You have one.
I bought it off the auction house.
We never found one ourselves.
I was like, oh, that's cool. I bet I can spend my few money on one of them at the auction house.
I don't really like socketed items. I think they're kind of waste. I don't really like forging either. I think that's kind of a waste, but
I like to
it's not bad.
I like to beat Elijah in it, or Zeke in it. I don't even know my own name.
Yeah, I do like beating Zeke in it, because he was like, man, I just spent, like, he literally came home from school and started spending, like, 2 hours on Diablo while I was watching some stuff on Netflix, and he was just all like, man, I've been working on getting this forging up. And I was like, so you want to play? And he's like, yeah, let's play. And then, like, right at the end of our session, I was like, you know what? I want to start forging. And then I became better than you because I'm awesome.
Well, I'm still...
Kai,
well,
the crusher of dreams.
Yeah, like, Lige's a level...
I'm 12 now.
He's 12. Kai's 15?
Yeah, I'm 15. I'm almost 15. 16.
I'm 17 going...
Hey, Kai, so am I.
Yeah, I'm 17 going on 18.
Another lame joke.
I am 17 going on 18.
Okay, anyway.
but I'm the lamest character of all time.
I don't know. You do some pretty crazy stuff.
No, I think the Witch Doctor has replaced... it's basically the Necromancer in Diablo 2 for anybody that hasn't played it. And you summon a lot of stuff, and I do think it's one of the classes that I would have liked to play. But I do like the Demon Hunter, and I do like playing Lady.
Lady Pants.
Did the Demon Hunter, replace the Ranger?
To replace, the Scout or Ranger or something
okay.
like that.
But, all I do is throw toads at people that explode and summon venomous dogs.
Yeah, well, I don't do anything but shoot arrows. I never use any of my magic.
I don't do anything but use magic.
Eventually, once I get high enough, I'm just going to be... Making creatures weaker.
I guess that makes sense with a wizard. The only thing I do is use magic, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, well, the only magic I use is when something gets too close to me, I backflip away.
Oh, is that what you do? I thought you just teleported.
No, I do a cartwheel backwards, and I turn smoky, and then now I just got this new one when I hit level 15, where I shoot really powerful. It doesn't use any mana, but I shoot really powerful, and then it teleports me back.
Oh, that's real cool. Oh. Is it one of the ones that have cooldown?
No, it doesn't have cooldown. I just can shoot.
Do you,
Yes, I am.
You use mana, right?
I use arcane power, which is like mana.
Is your globe split in two?
No, I think that's only hatred.
Oh, that's the only hatred?
Yeah, mine is purple, and it has, wavies, at the bottom of the, you know, in the ocean when you look at the top, and it looks kind of, wavy and...
Okay, yeah, mine is split into a red and blue one. One's mana.
From what I know, the only one that uses mana so far, from what I know, is the Witch Doctor,
No, I use mana.
Half.
You do?
Yeah, mine's split in two.
I mean, full mana. That's all they use. The Barbarian might...
I don't know. They might use hatred.
No, they use hatred.
I don't know. I've never played anything
like
but the
rage
Demon Hunter.
Or something like that.
I like the Demon Hunters being split in half, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it too. And it just makes me sad that I never use mana. But I always use my hatred because I'm always using my special power and stuff. But anyway, I think that's enough on the follow up. We just wanted to say how much we were enjoying it. if you see how excited we get, it is a really good game. It's worth the $60 to go and get and play.
Yes, it is.
And it is a lot of fun, and it's a lot more fun if you have other people to play with. I wouldn't recommend just going out and buying it if you don't know anybody to play with on your Blizzard account. But it is a lot of fun if you have people that you could play with a lot.
If you guys wanted to play with us on Diablo 3,
yeah, just
email us at realmofnerd@gmail.com.
Yeah, shoot us an email at realmofnerd@gmail.com. We'll become your BattleNet friends, and we'll play with you whenever you're on. I'm sure Zeke will play with you a lot.
Because I'm always on. Because
he's on a lot.
Well, whenever he's home from school.
Yeah, when I'm not at school, I'm playing Diablo 3 or doing homework.
Yeah, and I only play when Zeke or somebody else is on, because I don't like playing alone a lot. But I do get the itch. I have been getting the itch just to play even when no one else is around. But anyway.
Is that just because of Zeke?
No, because Zeke's not around when you guys are at school. I'll play it when you're not at school. But I guess we'll do a shameless plug now. Yeah, if you'd like to play with us or let us know how you feel about us or have any questions, concerns, or comments, email us at ramanerd@gmail.com. Our YouTube channel is ramanerd.
All one word, right?
Yeah, you can find us on Podomatic at ramanerd.podomatic.com, or you could look at our website, which hasn't been updated for a while, and I'm going to change the format probably when I have some time, maybe this weekend or next weekend. Next couple weeks, a website format will change, and that is realmofnerd.wix.com.
/home.
Slash home. Yeah, you need that slash home or it doesn't work.
So it's a mouthful.
Yeah. And
keyboardful.
If you don't have Podomatic, I'm going to recommend Podomatic to everybody. If you like podcasts, it's a really easy way to find gaming podcasts or any type of podcast that
gardening
you want. Music. But it's all off of there. And if you want to host your own podcast and you do it on Podomatic or want us to know and mention you, email us at realmofnerd@gmail.com. So
you messed up our plug, guy.
Just the end. But anyway.
Don't worry. Just listen to any other one before this. We do great every other time.
Yeah. No, we don't. I always mess it up.
You always have to go to me for the email.
So just listen to all that we have out so far, and you'll eventually be able to piece it all together and figure out what it actually is.
We really do recommend you to listen to our other
stuff.
Oh,
and please subscribe. Either on you can subscribe to the RSS feed off of Podomatic.com, or you can download this and subscribe at iTunes.
Which is probably the easiest one.
Yeah, and once we hit so many listeners, we may do some plugs for other businesses, but they will actually help us fund the monthly podcast account for because it does cost us to keep the podcast going. Not a lot, but we do want to find some supplements to pay for our podcasting cost and maybe some of the things that we do on here. Maybe we could get some media content if we could get some sponsors. If you'd like to sponsor us and you do listen, like you run a business or something, or just want to donate to us, send us an email. We read all listener email on the air.
You're just using us.
And if you'd want to sponsor us or make a donation, you like what we're doing. If you hate what we're doing, even email us too. But if you like what we're doing and you want to help support us a little bit financially, maybe send us a game or just recommend a game for us to review, or Magic Gathering play style, or some D20 or similar RPG, paper RPG, just let us know, and or you could contact us through the email, and we could arrange you to send it to us or send us some money to get it.
Do you have any of those videos up on YouTube yet?
No, I am a horrible person.
Yeah, you've been working
on
them.
Okay, so
like
I probably
month.
Shouldn't mention our idea for chaos because we talk about it so much.
Yeah, if we don't have a lot to do this weekend, we could either do it this weekend or next weekend.
So keep checking our YouTube this
and we'll
weekend.
Probably announce when it comes up.
Yeah, we will announce when it comes out, and there's nothing up. I do have about 4 different videos that I'm process of editing. I've just got busy with school and the reserves and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And Diablo 3, obviously.
Yeah, and gaming, you know. I got busy with some things and slacking off. And I haven't been able to post, but I have some good walkthroughs and tutorials for Magic the Gathering Online. I have about 4 or 5 of them that I could put up. I just need to edit and put our music and sign it and then put it in. But anyway, moving on to the second to last part of our podcast, Sad Face, Magic Gathering. And our old school card is in our card combo of the week. And it
is spelled that wrong.
Kaleidoscope.
Stone.
Stone. Kaleidostone, not Kaleidoscope. Kaleidostone, which is an awesome card. We're going to have Lodge give you the combo, and then I'll talk a little bit about what I like about this card.
14 million of them.
Okay, we went to this cool...
I think he only has 2 playsets left. I already traded him for 2 playsets.
Oh, yeah. We went to this real cool store up in Oklahoma City area.
Norman.
That's sort of.
Norman, Oklahoma.
They have them in Oklahoma City, too.
Okay. But it's called Vintage Stock, and they were trying to get rid of their old commons and uncommons of Magic cards. So for like $6, I got 100, 150.
Oh, you get a lot more than 100.
Oh, I got like. Okay, we got a crap ton.
You get about 200 to 300.
Yeah, we go to this place and we just get like. $10. We just spend $10 and we get millions of cards.
Not millions.
No, that's an exaggeration.
We get about if you would set them all stacked up, you'd get at least 6 inches
probably,
of cards.
Yeah, probably about 2 or 3 decks worth, 60 card decks.
Yeah, there's about 200 to 300 cards in each stack that we buy for $10.
But I bought one, and most of the combos that I got are from this one thing that I bought, and I got like 12 of these Kaleidostones, which are. It's an artifact, so it's 2 colorless. And when Kaleidostone comes into play, you draw a card, which that's not a real big deal. But what's the big deal is you pay 5 of any color mana and then tap it. You sacrifice it and add 1 of each color to your mana pool, which is cool because there's this card. If you pair it with this card, which is Sawtooth Thresher, if you pay 6 colorless, which if you include the Kaleidostone, you've already got 5, so you just need to pay 1 more. And it's a 1/1, but what's cool is it has the ability Sunburst, which it gets a 1/1 counter for each color of mana that was used to pay its cost.
Oh, wow. Where did you learn that?
It says on the card.
No, I mean, like, where did you learn that combo?
They were stacked on top of each other, and I read the card.
Well, I named this... combo. This is our combo of the week. I named this combo a Kaleidoscope Heart.
Why did you name it? It's not even your combo.
Hey.
Shut up,
okay,
Z.
So what does it do again?
You pay the 5 for the Kaleidostone, and you get 5 of any color. Then you use it to pay for Sawtooth Thresher, and it becomes 1 other mana. And then it becomes a 6/6. And then it has the ability where you can remove 2 1/1 counters from Sawtooth Thresher. And then Sawtooth Thresher gets plus 4/4 until the end of turn. So this is just a casual kind of placed... casual combo because it takes a really long time to get this to actually fire off correctly.
Well, my part is not just in casual, but you could maybe put it in if you have a commander deck to work
it that's
into,
a good one.
Because it's, or a singleton, if you play any competitive singleton games.
They have that?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
They have it on Motigo too.
Oh, that's real sweet.
But if you're playing singleton, that's a pretty good combo if you fire it off. I think it would be really good, the Kaleidostone. Why it's the old school card of the week is because it's a very versatile card for 5-color or multicolor decks or things like that. The Kaleidostone and Sawtooth Thresher, whatever it's called. Because that'll give you, what, a 6.6 or 7.7?
6.6, which if you pay the 2, it could become a 7.7. So I don't think the trade-off's too awful good unless you just need to deal 7.
Well, you're getting a 6.6 for 5 mana.
True. 6 mana.
How is it 6 mana?
Because it's 6. I said you need to use the Kaleida Stone and 1 more mana.
Oh, okay. So it's not that great. But, I mean, it would be good. But Kaleida Stone would be good in most 5-color decks because I traded 2 play sets.
Yeah, you traded a lot of cards
I
for
I traded
that.
You for 2 play sets just so I could have some one in my commander deck that's a 5-color deck. It's the Slivers commander deck. And then I'm going to put 3 or 4 of them into my Slivers deck so I could pull out Sliver Overlord when or pull out any other card and use it for. Because once that Sliver deck starts running, if I have colors that I need, I could definitely have, like, 5 cards in hand if I'm not firing off a color that I need. And then I could play the Kaleida Stone and just, bam, get the mana that I need and lay down all crazy colors.
Slivers are Satan's spawn.
But my Sliver deck is a
Goblins
very...
Goblins are Satan's spawn.
My Sliver deck is a very casual deck, and I did it just so I could play Slivers. And I do play 5 colors.
Yeah, he doesn't... No spell?
Yeah, it's a fully aggro creature deck.
And when it works, it works.
Yeah, when it fires off right, it just rapes people's faces. But anyway, moving on.
In my mouth.
We're going to talk about some multiplayer formats. The, like, classical ones that everybody thinks of. Two-headed giant, and just basically, I forget what they call it, but it's just like a grudge match. It's a free-for-all. Everybody versus everybody, 20 health or 40 health, depending on house rules or whatever. And two-headed giant was in tournament play for a long time. I don't know if it still is, but you can find tournaments in every play format on MTGO, but... In Paper Magic, it was one of the leading formats for a real long time.
How long ago?
It's like when the game first started.
Oh, okay. A long time ago.
But when it was the leading format. But they used to, until recently, they used to have, I think up until like modern card styles, they used to have a two-headed giant tournament. And a lot of places still do because it's a really cool format.
It's a lot of fun. We've only played it, what, twice?
We played it more than twice. We played about 4 times.
Yeah, but we played a little variation on it. We didn't play the exact rules. Because two-headed giant, for those who don't know, it's 2 two-player teams. You take your turns at the exact same time, and a two-headed giant person, each team has 40 health. But whenever one person gets hit, the 40 health goes down. So you each share health. So you don't each get 20 health.
Oh, okay. That was our house rule then.
Our house rule, we played with, to make it fair, when we were playing at Thanksgiving with some of our cousins, we played everybody. It was basically team free-for-all
yeah,
teams.
Yeah, we were playing homemade decks, and like they were fairly good, and they were playing like a Johnny or Nicobolas decks.
Yeah, they were playing a Johnny and Nicobolas. Oh, no, he was playing the... he was playing the Johnny from the Nicobolas, dual deck, and then Isaac was playing his zombie deck.
Which is really good when he gets it right.
Yeah, I don't like his zombie deck because it always smokes me.
Yeah, and we were playing, you could play spells on each other. But anyway, we weren't really playing Two-Headed Giant, but Two-Headed Giant is a fun format. I mostly play it in just for fun in MTGO. Because I think it's a cool format, and it does actually let people talk to each other in the chat, and it's really fun. It is slow. But you don't see a lot of it in, like, card stores that I've been to. I can't say around us because we don't go to them. But
it's just we don't have them.
Yeah, we don't have them here. And recently I went to the first card shop in a long time that actually had, I went and played when I had Drill a couple months ago, and everybody was doing free-for-alls. It was basically whoever showed up, because he didn't have a F&M, like an actual organized one, just people showed up on Friday to play Magic at his store, at his comic shop. And he did make a lot of money off of Magic the Gathering. He sold a lot of Wizards of the Coast merchandise. He just didn't run it. And
That's a good idea.
He just let him play. I mean, it was basically you could come in and play Warhammer and type of stuff. But he had a big Magic crowd. And I went in and tried to play with him, and I talked to him for a little while. And they're all like, no, we just do free-for-alls.
Oh.
And basically, if you walked in, you had a free-for-all. It started with a six-man free-for-all, and then it went to a giant 10-man free-for-all by the end last game that I played.
Was Isaac in that?
No, Isaac was not.
It was in Midwest City.
Did you ever get close to higher winning?
No. These guys were the uber nerds. I don't want to say uber nerds, but these guys were the really, really serious players, some of the ones that were winning. There were two of them. And then there were more casual guys. When I brought out my Sliver deck, everybody ignored me, and it didn't fire off. I didn't get any of the mana I needed. I played two Slivers. They were all like, oh, well, once they took out one of the main guys, they went after me right away. Because they were like, as soon as this was firing off, we do not want to mess with this guy. And the problem was is I could have taken out two of them by the time it started firing off, and they started attacking me. I was down to six health, though. By the time I figured that I could take out... Wait, no, I wasn't at six. I was at 16 health. I figured I could take out two of them if I played Shadow Sliver, because I had enough slivers to kill one in one turn and then the other in the second. But I wouldn't have won. So I basically kind of...
committed suicide.
Shadow Sliver in a free-for-all match is not all that smart.
Yeah, it is.
Well, doesn't
if no one else is playing Shadow...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Only things with Shadow. Okay.
It does leave you open,
because
with the Sliver deck, it would make all my creatures have Shadow.
Mm.
So if I had enough health, because they were all duking it out over each other, and this the guy that they were really scared of was just annihilating them, and he wasn't worried about me because I was the new guy and I wasn't firing off right, and he was just all like, they're going to kill me, so I'm going to leave the big threat open, the guy that I don't know. And he was, like, kind of letting everybody feel me out. And they didn't touch me because they didn't know how I played. And then I went up and had the Shadow Sliver, and then I dropped it. And they were just all like, okay, we got to take this guy out. Because
I had
five slivers out. Two muscle slivers and a might sliver. And then a flying sliver, which didn't really do anything. And then I had, like, a region type sliver, the clot sliver, and then I dropped the Shadow Sliver, and they were all like, we don't want this guy.
I would like to go there. I don't know if they would allow people our age.
Yeah, they would.
Okay.
It's a card shop.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't matter age.
It's casual. They might not want.
Yeah, but the cool thing about that place is they were playing. People would break off, and when the free-for-all, they didn't want to play the free-for-all, they would break off and play, like, two-headed giant. And it was a big casual play type of thing. And I really think a lot of cards, point being, is I really think a lot of card shops are missing that nowadays. You get so concentrated on DCI at all the card shops that you normally go to, and the former structured play formats, that's why Commander got real big, is because it was a casual way, and it's a lot of fun. But it could be converted into a standardized thing. These things could, but I just think casual Magic is so much more fun.
I love casual Magic. I like going to tournaments and just kind of like playing against more like different things.
I did run away from the mic in my defense.
You didn't cover it though. You just belched out loud.
Okay, so what I was saying, I like to go to tournaments and see how other people play, because most of the time I'm playing against family or friends.
People you know their decks and
yeah,
play
I know
styles.
Their decks, I know how they play. Like, I know both of your how you guys play and almost all your decks. But
he knows our deck inside and out.
Yeah, and that's a lot to say, especially for me, since I have that pilot suitcase full of decks.
Well, I just have I just have shelves full of loose cards, and then one box full of decks that I don't know what are in them because they're all Innistrad boxes.
They're all the same box. So it's just like.
But anyway, back to the topic.
Sorry.
Yeah, I do feel you. Don't get me wrong. I love playing tournament play. It is a lot of fun. But I do miss people getting together with people that you don't know, making new friends, and the type of the playing casual, like playing free-for-alls and stuff. A lot of people didn't want to do that, especially in where we were going to play tournament play.
Yeah. They were. Some of those guys were, you know.
I got second. I was pretty proud about that.
They were big on their Magic.
I got second, too.
Well, I got there with the red deck, so I can't say anything.
What did I get second with? Oh, I got second with the Sliver deck.
Oh, yeah.
That counts as a red deck.
You got there with aggro decks. I remember I took, like, green.
Yeah, he always took green and stuff, and the one time he brought his really good deck, he only played against people with red. Well, you did play against an aggro merfolk deck.
We had three guys that were, like, definitely going to win. People walked in, and they were all like, okay, we know who the top three are. And we know who's going to win first, second, and third, even though first and second are the only two that get money. And I could walk in with my werewolf deck, and I won fourth. Yeah. Well, I tied with a couple of people because it's the Swiss format. But... I knew that my deck was good enough, and it kind of surprised me, but it was a green-white.
I like how it happened the same way. Like, you brought us, and you walked in, then everyone knew who was going to win, and then Zeke ended up there.
You're all like, okay, now, guys, because this was our first tournament, you're all like, I was bringing a deck that I've only ever played in casual. It's the first tournament I've been to. And he's all like, now, guys, you're probably not going to win, maybe not any games, but... So just remember, these people play a lot. And then I end up getting second. And
yeah, Zeke only lost one game.
And that was against the first guy, and he was like, he always won.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't even have to pay for stuff in there.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He earned enough store credit money in.
Yeah, some of those guys go to that store just because the tournaments, they earn enough money playing tournaments to support their Magic habit.
Yeah, they don't have to pay for their tournaments.
They don't have to pay for their tournaments. They don't ever have to pay for their boosters. One time, Bo walked in and picked up a booster box, and he was like, how much for this? And then he pulled out his little gift card with all of his tournament credit on it and handed it to him. It was like $140.
Holy crap.
Well, he goes every week, except for times he has stuff going on.
Yeah, he goes every Friday and Saturday for the tournament.
Why not?
Well, we need to go on to the next topic.
Yeah, we're going to touch on MTGO free cards. This is on one of the videos that I did. I just haven't posted it. You actually could go in there and type in free cards, and once a month you could get up to like 60 free cards of commons and uncommons.
Really?
Just go to Cardbot or type in Freebot and stuff. Just wait your turn. If they're busy, go in and... you could get free cards. I will post a video on it and go into further detail, but there is a way to get free cards, and you could save your first tickets on... if you haven't got into it yet and you're interested, I'll try to post those before you do. If not, go to mtgoacademy.com, and they'll give you walkthroughs. I just go a little more in-depth than what they do, and I made some videos to supplement, basically, their videos.
Yeah, I want to get MTGO just so... Because I really want to make a cheap fairy deck.
You're not going to make a cheap fairy deck. I don't even know if MTGO...
I mean cheaper.
I don't even know if MTGO, because it only has up to a certain format, I don't even know if they have enough money to make fairy decks. I would look into it before you buy it if you're just trying to make a fairy deck.
No, I would research and stuff, but... If they have fairies, please email us, because that would be one of the main reason I would get MTGO and then maybe put away a few bucks every couple weeks.
Zeke being a fairy.
Yeah. Because they don't have slivers besides the...
They really? They don't?
They do have slivers, but it's only that one premium deck series slivers deck.
Oh, that's real
lame. That's dumb, yeah. Oh, well, then they probably won't have fairies.
They may not. They probably do because fairies have been were around a lot longer than slivers. Slivers were only in like a set or two. Anyway, moving on past magic, we're going to move on to our final thing, and we'll go over the rules first. And you know what? We won't even do the rules because we're running a little long.
How long?
We are
about
20 seconds away from an hour.
Okay. Welcome to the 20-second mark, away from an hour.
We were going to go over the action types. There's a few more action types, and you know what? We could do it. Screw it. There's a few more action types.
In fact, we're doing that now.
Yeah. There's a few more action types than in Pathfinder than in 3.5. Pathfinder in 3.5 than there are in 4.0.
Okay, I was about to say, that doesn't make any sense.
4.0 does only have four. They kind of boiled it down. 3.5 does go into a little more. Your standard action, your move action, your minor action, and your free action.
This is 4.0.
This is 4.0, yeah. They have the four. The standard action are, they take one standard action on your turn. Example, most attack powers, charging at an enemy, using your second wind. So they're big because each turn in both of them is about 6 seconds, each round. So each one of your turns is your character performing something for 6 seconds. So this is something that takes around 3 seconds to do. Your move action is something that takes
2 seconds-ish?
2 to 3. And that's how fast you can move in those 6 seconds. And then you have your minor action, which minor actions are like pulling an item from a pouch or sheath, throwing something, opening a door or chest, picking up an item. Or just tossing something real fast to a partner. They're really small, quick. Minor actions are really small and quick. Basically takes milliseconds, or you could do it while doing something else. And then you have free actions, which is basically like talking. It's up to your DM to restrict these. But it's basically like speaking a few sentences, yelling to a partner, dropping an item, or letting go of an enemy. Something that really takes literally no time at all to do. It's just a blink of an eye, you're there, snapping your fingers.
If you want to see an example, close your hand into a fist and then open it. Now count how long that took. Not like the slow open, just opening your hand.
Oh, crap.
Okay, now Pathfinder breaks it down into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. They have the standard action, your move action, your full round action, which basically is a action that takes what it says, a full round.
Like readying. No, you can't ready
like,
spells.
Like a double move,
yeah.
Or something like that. Or, yeah, a full round action would be readying a spell.
Okay.
Then you have your free action, your swift action, which is the same as your minor action. Immediate action, which is very similar to a swift action, but can be performed at any time. Swift actions, you only could do one per turn.
Oh.
The same with a minor action. They have something in their actions that is listed as not an action. Some activities are so minor that they're not even considered free actions. They literally don't take any time at all to do and can be considered inherently part of doing something else, such as knocking an arrow as part or notching an arrow as part of an attack with a bow. So if you draw your arrow and put it in your bow and draw back your bow, that is either a swift action or a free action. And actually notching the arrow, if you say you notch it, that's there so nobody can go, oh, you notched your arrow, that's a minor action.
like blinking.
Oh, yeah,
and then I'll blink. And then I blink again. Yeah, and then I blink again.
I breathe through this whole process.
I breathe very steadily. That would be not an action because, you know.
Sorry, you just used your standard action. You may want to.
Okay, and then they have the last one, which is restricted activity. In some situations, you may be unable to take a full round's worth of actions. In such a cases, is restricted, blah, 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 blah. Or like casting or using a full round action.
Now, like, if you, like...
Or if you're tackled or something like that.
Now, if you wiggle your toe, that is not an action. But if you... Your foot is numb and you wiggle your toe, it's a swift action.
Bad example.
That's a bad example and you're retarded.
Punch to the throat.
So, our last topic will probably be pretty fast. We have done a lot of these, and I do really think they're a really cool way to get into DMing or start off DMing or just make your DM life a little easier or even just use them to pull ideas from. And
it's like the kiddie pool of DMing.
Yeah, these are pre-made adventures. Not even that, because...
They're pretty complicated.
They're good to use to get into DMing because you don't have to think everything out and it kind of shows you how to DM. But at the same time, you do have to have some sort of DMing skill and creativity to do them, because the first time that you DM'd, it wasn't good at all.
No.
I will tell you that it wasn't very good at all. It wasn't just because you were adapting something from 3.0 to 3.5. It was because you were inexperienced, and yeah, it's not your fault that
I realize that
very good. It was because you don't have any experience.
I'm not taking this as an insult, Kai. I understand.
So no, I'm just explaining. Just because you don't have any experience, that's why they're a good way to start off. Because it would be 20 times worse if you tried to do it yourself. Like when I first started doing it.
Oh, that was terrible.
No, yeah. That wasn't too bad.
Well, we should have been. I mean, like
the storyline wasn't bad because I'm a good storyteller. Not toot my own horn, but I'm a good storyteller. But the gameplay, and I didn't even understand how, challenge ratings really worked yet.
Oh, yeah, you threw, like, two ogres at us.
Yeah,
like,
we were fighting four ogres and, like, seven goblins.
Which is okay if you're experienced role players and you could
it was our first
take
time
care
playing,
of it. But
our
it was
first
your
dungeon.
First time playing, my first time DMing.
Our it first just, dungeon.
It wasn't even a dungeon. It was...
Arena.
My first campaign. But anyway, I think pre-made adventures are really fun and really useful tools. I like using them just because some of those guys are just amazing storyline. Some of the people that produce them are just been DMing so long and have great storyline ideas. They're just good. It's fully covered. It gives you even the monsters. Sometimes you don't even have to pull out your monster manual or your bestiary or anything.
See, like, I love pre-made adventures. I love playing them. I love DMing them, even though I'm not that good of a DM. It kind of guides me. But, the one thing that if I could have for D&D, just, like, one edition that I could get for free, would be to get the Tomb of Horrors 4.0 module. Which is by Gary Gygax originally for AD&D.
And why they reproduced it is not because it was produced around the same time that Gary Gygax died, but it was actually released because it was such a good storyline.
Yeah.
And Pathfinder has a lot of good ones too, and so does I don't think.
What was that one, the ghost one? The prison one?
Oh yeah. The one that Mary
The Mystery.
Jo and
the Carrion Crown campaign.
Carrion, yeah. That
and
was a
cool,
real good one.
The cool thing, one thing I like better about Pathfinder than D&D is D&D is just trying to help you make your own campaigns. They have low-level ones. They don't have a lot of full adventures out. They just have, one through four, or this goes through 27 to... 28 or something like that. They have very short adventures, a very short storyline, and the whole overline thing. Now, the adventure paths actually have a full campaign that take your characters from level
1 to 20?
1 to like 17 or 18. So maybe it does go to 20.
I think it just depends on the one.
They're always the same level. But it's around 20. I think it's 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would like about D&D, because then you don't have to tie storylines together, and it flows more. It flows.
You mean
more
Pathfinder?
What? No.
Yes, Pathfinder.
Yeah, you said I like that more about D&D. Meaning, the way that you worded it, you said it about D&D.
I would like D&D more, the modules more, if they ran more.
Like
more,
the Pathfinder.
More.
Like okay, so you're saying you like the Pathfinder idea better than the D&D one.
Yeah, it runs more fluently.
And you're saying you're... Okay. More. What you're saying is you wish... The way that you worded that was horrible.
I can't talk. I'm tired. It's 9:30.
You wish that the way that they made the D&D ones actually ran together like an adventure path where it took you over a long period of levels.
It would make it a lot easier because it goes from... You can find ones that are like one, and then you could time together and get the characters to seven.
Well, little known fact that you don't know, but most people do. If you start out with the red box, and then you buy... the small thin books, what are they called? The little rules book, like I have the DM guide. If you buy the boxes, like you have your player's box and it's your DM essentials and then your monster vault. So if you buy the red box, which has your level one adventure, then if you buy your monster vault, it has a level two adventure. Two and three. I mean...
It's...
No, the red box has level one, then it ties in to the DM Essentials, which is two and three, and then the Monster Vault has level four. Well, so one through four all have basically
the
same
storyline. Well, what
I'm
talking about, like, if you can get them to seven, there's nothing in between, like, the high-level campaigns... And the low-level campaigns.
Yeah, because they're expecting you after that to make your own, because they believe that's part of the storyline. Part of the fun. But, yeah, I do think it is kind of lame, but also 4th edition leaves it so open and easy to DM.
Was it a lot... It was a lot easier for you to make still an in-depth story campaign for 4.0 than 3.5.
4.0, I don't know if it was because I... No, it's not because I know what I'm doing. 4.0 is a lot easier to DM than 3.5, because I could get through 3.5 and it'd take me months. I could put a couple-level adventure together just with the storyline in an hour or two with 4.0, where it would take me days, maybe a month of free time to put together a 3.5 Pathfinder.
Which is cool and kind of bad. Yeah. My descriptive words are getting worse as time goes on. I'm sorry about that.
It has its downsides and it has its upsides. But Pathfinder is a lot more in-depth, and it's a lot more... You have more rules for everything, where 4.0 leaves the role play a little more up to the DM. But I do like the pre-made adventure paths for 4.0 and 3.5. I do think they're... really good. They're really creative. If you're having trouble starting a campaign, they have a couple. I think they have one or two for first level characters.
Yeah.
And maybe even start with one of those and get the feel of it. Or if you're starting DMing, find them. And the cool thing about Pathfinder, though, is they produce a lot more. They have monthly ones. The comic books now have adventures in them. You have the Adventure Pass, which are only about $10, and that takes you through about four or five levels each book, and they're great. The 4.0 has them, but the better thing about Pathfinder is you could take 3.5 and easily convert them, and there's tons and tons, because the open gaming license for Pathfinder, you even find them for free online. They're not as good, but like the swords and sorcery stuff, you can find those for a dollar.
I like those.
Yeah, the storylines and everything, you just have to convert it. It's either in the DM manual or the core rulebook how to convert 3.5 adventures to Pathfinder system.
Yeah.
And it's just a little adjustment on the challenge rating.
I think Elijah was the one doing the Slaying Stone, where it's basically just a dungeon roamer.
You're doing the Slaying Stone. I was doing this.
Not the sword and sorcery.
Yeah, he was doing
the Slaying Stone is a D&D module that I'm DMing. But yeah, that was just dungeon roaming, and it wasn't a real immersed storyline. But I'm sure it was if you played the other ones.
Yeah, because they had like an adventure pass, swords and sorcery does. But you could go on Amazon and find like the whole series or a whole 1 through 25 thing, and you could find all those books, like the 5 or 10 books, for $1 a piece.
Awesome.
On Amazon. But I think we're running a little long. We're all tired and ready for bed. And I think that's pretty much we covered everything that we wanted to cover. Mm-hmm. We skip anything?
No.
We went right down the list. Mm-hmm. Flipped some things over, but...
Yeah.
Flipped some things over.
I meant...
like we switched them around?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you guys are tired. I'm a little tired. You guys' brains are definitely not working.
Yeah.
We've all been up for a real long time, and it's getting late for us. And I just want to say thank you for listening. Please like, rate, and subscribe to all of our things that we said earlier. Email us at realmnerd@gmail.com and find us on iTunes and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. And let us know. You drop by, say hi, feel free. And this is Kai from Realm Nerd, and I would like to say goodbye and good night, and keep it nerdy.
Yeah, keep it nerdy night. Love you guys. Kiss you guys. Dirty. Talk through the mic.
Dirty nerdy.